another episode of the Stephen McCollum Show. We're recording and recording from New Orleans. It's been very cold here. Super, super cold. I think it's been cold everywhere, but exceptionally cold here.
What kind of cold are we dealing with?
We had 20s and 30s, which is...
Oh, that is cold for New Orleans.
Yeah. My wife had to cover the pipes.
Yeah.
All of that stuff. You got to run water because it'll freeze. And the city is 20s. Just not built for cold.
It's like in New York.
Yeah, we didn't get snow, but it was so cold that school were canceled for a lot of people. Bridges were shut down.
Yeah, because the South doesn't know how to handle cold.
They have no idea how to handle the cold. And yeah, we're still out here hooping like nothing is going on outside. And I love it.
It's wintertime. It's that time of year. Actually, it's an interesting time of year because what are we at? What is today?
January 22nd. It's my brother's birthday today. Shout out to my big brother. Happy 36th birthday.
Ah, 36. Happy birthday. Over the 35 mark. Now late 30s. He's joined my club. Us elders.
Illustrious club. It's an illustrious club.
Yeah. So end of January. January is always like an interesting time in the NBA, right?
Yeah.
Past the holidays, it's gearing up. We're at the midway mark, and the trade deadline is February 8th. So around the corner. What's this time like for you guys?
It's stressful at times, especially when you're younger and you're learning the game and you're trying to find your way. You're craving stability. You're craving playing time. You have aspirations of making money in this league. And you understand that change is inevitable. At some point, like it's going to happen or something's going to happen, but you don't know what. And I think the uncertainty can drive you crazy at times. But I think for us, you know, as a franchise, as an organization, we're a young team. We have a lot of young talent, a lot of draft picks, and there's obviously rumors about some of our players. So there's that sense of if we just keep winning, like what happens? And there's that sense of some things are just going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it. I think for me as a veteran, it's about having those conversations throughout the year. And, you know, I've had them in the past and we'll have some more this season about just understanding that you can only control what you can control. And that if you are involved in rumors, that means you have value. And that's an important thing to have in this league, is to be coveted by more than one team. And the other part of it is just kind of preparing mentally, preparing the people around you that something could happen. And kind of getting your affairs in order. I think it's better to be proactive than to be reactive in this business and in this sport. So,
in life.
Because life will life you. And I think for me, it's this. I do the same thing every year. I put my agent in my favorites. I start turning my phone ringer on. And I don't really read a lot of the articles and stuff, but I'm just paying attention a little bit more than I normally would.
When do you start that? Like when did you turn your ringer on? Because that's a choice.
Actually, a couple of days ago, I turned my ringer on.
Okay.
And I mean, I still turn on after a certain time. It's like, whatever it is, I'm going to sleep. But leaving on a little longer now. Favorites has been adjusted properly. Yeah. Add my agent in there. But I think it's just important that you focus on the controllables. Like, you can't control getting traded. You can't control rumors. You can't control anything but how you prepare for the game and how you react to how you play in the game. And I think that's the mindset and the focus, and that's where it has to be for us. We're a good team. We're climbing, we're getting better, and there's going to be rumors surrounding our team and our players because we have talent, we have players who are expiring, and we have players who are in position to make money, like lots of money, very soon. So there's a lot of discussions around our team right now and other teams, and I think it's cool to see how players react to it, like DeJounte Murray hitting game winners and being involved in trade rumors, like D'Angelo Russell averaging like 28, 6-6 on 55, 52, and 90 over his last five. Like, some players respond well to it and some players don't.
Yeah. I mean, and the spotlight on a guy like D'Angelo Russell on a team like the Lakers, like he's going on. I mean, he scored 30 last night, and then, you know, everybody's talking about how it looked like he had a sad face on the bench because people are just... The thing about like trade deadline, free agency is, you know, it's the transactions have really picked up in terms of fan interest. You know, fans love the transaction talks and where guys can be going. And you've said that you're not really paying attention to the articles, but like, how do you feel like all of that noise and chatter affects a locker room? Because you said, you know, as a veteran player who has been traded, who happens to be the president of the Players Association, do you seek out people to kind of talk to and tell them, hey, this is a time you should put your ringer on. You should, you know, have your agent and your favorites, you know, or have people approached you, given that you are such a savvy vet and been around and seen a lot?
I think it's a combination. When I first got traded, like, players were asking about the process on the team. Even after Kyra left, you know, we kind of have, you know, some conversations, and coaches is big on, you know, talking through situations, talking through what's happening. And the biggest thing is to be a pro. Like, you have to be a pro every day in terms of your preparation, how you show up for work, when you show up, because that matters. And if you have a good track record and you're known for doing things a certain type of way, your value will increase around the league. So that sometimes you're getting traded to a situation that may be better for you, right? You may be getting more minutes, more playing time, more opportunity, or they have more money to compensate you down the road. So I think you have to look at it as two ways. Sometimes it's a blessing in disguise, and you have to embrace that. And the other part of it is, like you said before, the discussions that I have with certain guys is just like, make sure you're talking to your agent. Make sure you're having constant dialogue with your agent and communicating effectively as to how you're feeling and what you're hearing, and make sure they're doing the same thing, because I'm sure they're having conversations with front office, and I'm sure they're having conversations with other teams just in general. And you need to kind of know what it looks like for you and what the options could be. I think that's extremely important. And if there's something that you like as a player, you need to make sure you speak up on that as well, so your agent can reiterate that to other franchises and your current franchise. And I say that to guys that are on my team and otherwise, because they are in the business of doing what's best for you. You need to make sure that they are your agent. Like, he needs to make sure that he or she has a great understanding of what you want to accomplish out of your career and where you're at currently in your career.
Right. Because we talk about, like, this is a business. Sometimes it's out of your control. But as you said, making sure you're planting the seeds, expressing what you do want, that's the way that you can control things in a way. Because you have no idea if you're, you know, if you want to go to Salt Lake City, for instance, that's where your family lives. But like,
Park City.
But like, you know, your agent's not thinking about that, or Salt Lake's not really in the mix of people really talking. But you mention something to your agent and they have a conversation. Plus, like, you know, I mean, I have an agent too, but it's a little different. Obviously, I don't have like a trade deadline, but there's something to the agent business, because we're all kind of pawns in a game, if you will, because there's all types of different leverage involved when you're, you know, making trades and deals involving people. And when you have a bunch of people that you represent, you know, like, hey, I have these two people as my clients, like, you know, let's try to work something out, or I have a nice relationship. There's all these like back channels of these conversations going on, because that's what this time is like, who, like, which agents, GMs are having the most conversations, going out of their way to like have those relationships. Like, that's their job. And that's why your job is to be on the court and playing, and their job is to building these connections and seeing what, you know, like what kind of deals work. Now all of that, there's on the other side, there's like family involved, and, you know, there's a whole life outside of, you know, basketball. Like, how does this time affect just like your personal side?
Yeah. I mean, it affects everything. And I think you talked about the human aspect of being a player. If or when you get traded, it shifts lots of things, right? You live in a house, you got to find a new house. You probably start off in an apartment or a hotel. Although it's very nice, it's in a unfamiliar territory. Like, when I got traded to New Orleans, I didn't know how to get anywhere. I didn't know how to get to the arena. I walked into the Smoothie King and I was like, where's the home locker room? You know what I mean? Like, you take the little things for granted. Like, I didn't know where anything was at. You don't know anybody's name. And it's like a mid-season trade. I try to tell people all the time, it's like, we live a great life. This is a great job, but I'm not complaining about it. But imagine you work somewhere for 8 years, and on a random Tuesday, you get shipped either across the country or just to a state that you have frequented before, but like have never like lived it.
It's like literally the furthest place from Portland.
That's like a 4.5 hour flight. Completely different culture, like all of those things. But like, I mean, in general, imagine you work a desk job, right? Like you work for State Farm, and State Farm sends you from the West Coast to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Right. Shout out to my guy, Dane. It's just different. Like you have some adjustments you need to make.
The next day.
Like you have like 48 hours to report. So imagine they tell you, like, get your stuff together. You're going to take your book bag, a suitcase or two.
Because the season's still going on.
You're playing a game within 72 hours. You got to pass a physical unless they waive it. And you're playing a game within 72 hours. You're living out of a suitcase no matter what because you got to ship your stuff. You got to get a rental car until you can ship your car. If you had a chef, now you're figuring out all that stuff, figuring out food, meals. Let's not talk about kids.
Well, now we get into first world problems. But the kids' problems, kids,
schooling. And if you're in New York, you know what it's like. Like finding a good school for your kids, you have to get in early.
And Jacoby was just born when you were traded?
Yeah, I got traded. Jacoby was 3 weeks old and some change.
3 weeks old.
I left on his after his 4 week appointment. I said, I can't fly until after his 4 week appointment. So I went to his 4 week appointment and then I was on a plane at 3 o'clock to fly to New Orleans. I landed at 12:30. I got to my hotel at 1:20 and I played in a 6 p.m. game against the Miami Heat the next day. Yeah. Didn't know any plays. I was learning like all the plays and stuff. It was wild, but I mean, it's cool, but it's different. And you have to be willing to adapt, willing to change. I think the communication is important because significant other, kids, wife, whatever you have, family, like you're uprooting them and taking them from one place and dropping them into another. I had to figure out what I would do with my dog.
Right.
It was a lot.
I remember like, that time.
Yeah, it was a beast. But I made it and we're happy here. We're thankful to be in New Orleans and looking forward to making great impact.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. How does that work in terms of coming into a system and then just jumping on a court? Because, I had the Knicks game recently, right after OG got traded. And basically, like all the conversation was like, I don't know anything that's going on that OG said. He goes, I don't even know who I'm, training with. Like, I don't know what my warm-up time is. I'm just, people just telling me which direction, when to go. Is that like, how does that work for you? You just assign someone as soon as you get there and then they kind of chaperone you through the first few days?
Yeah, basically before shoot around, you're walking through plays. They give you like 5 sets. Like we're going to walk over like 5 basic sets. But the cool part about the NBA is that we all run similar plays, just different names. So once you see it, you're like, oh, okay, that's we call it basic rub in New Orleans, but that's one fist when I was in Portland. Mm-hmm. We call it away. They call it touch.
Right.
We call it motion. They call it elbow. So like once you see it, you're like, oh, that's just this. You call it spread. We call it open. Like it's the same stuff, just different terminology. So once you learn the terminology, or you can just, I just follow players. I'm like, okay, Z is going to the short. JV is high. Okay. We're in spread. Okay. We're in auto. Auto is through the trail in Portland. I'd be like, through the trail, throw it through Nurk. Nurk takes it to the backside. In New Orleans, we just call it backside. So it's like you start to figure it out. Like, it took me like 3 games because I'm like, one fist. They're like, what is one fist? I'm like, oh, my bad, basic rub. So it's like I'm saying like old plays. And then like you kind of figure out the lingo and terminology. Yeah. Even to this day, I'll say the wrong thing and be out, look at me, and I'll be like, screen, just rubs. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So it's like you forget.
Fill in the blank. You get it.
Tell them you want a ball screen, whatever you call it.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Maybe I was overcomplicating it in my head now that you say that, but at the same time, you're also getting to know the different personalities, like in the middle of the season. I mean, this is so February 8th, like I said, it's past the halfway point. There's whatever, whether you're struggling or not, you're still in a type of routine. I mean, just to think about something that happened this year, you know, when this was at the beginning of the season, when James Harden was traded to the Clippers. We saw that like kind of awkward video, him walking into the locker room. You know, Terrence Mann sitting there and, you know,
staring
like,
everyone. But they said he had already spoke to him, but he was looking at him like, you coming here to take my minutes?
Right. thanks for bringing us behind the curtain. But that's from, you know, for the people who are not in the know, that was like a peek into, I guess it is kind of like, you know, they're just like us. They have awkward interactions, first day of school jitters. Like that's, you know, it, like when you, I'm sure you were fine walking into as like a veteran, walking into that Pelicans locker room, but maybe like thinking back when people were traded to Portland, like, was there ever any time without needing to say any names, just like vibes were strange, just getting used to new faces in the locker room?
After trade is made and you get new faces in the locker room, it's definitely first day of school vibes or like transfer portal vibes where you're trying to gauge the personality. And it's always funny because you have this understanding of what you think a player is like based on seeing them from afar, like interacting with the minimal. And then they become a person you see every day. So you really get to kind of figure them out and see what they're like. And it's always interesting to ask players like, what do you think about me before I was traded to your team? What do you think about me now? And then, like, I ask some of my teammates the same thing when we get a new player in. And it's just cool to kind of see how, like, the personality slowly starts to develop. They start to get more comfortable around you. They start to laugh more, joke more. But in the beginning, everybody is kind of to themselves. They don't really speak a lot unless you're super, super outgoing. You don't really talk a lot, and you kind of just remain super low-key and quiet. And you only ask questions like, where should I eat at around here? Where is the nearest Rite Aid, Walgreens, Wally's World, if you're a Walmart person. I'm a big CVS guy, so like, where is CVS? What schools are around here if you got kids? What parks are close if you got kids? Are there any dog parks if you got a dog? Just asking those types of questions, and then normally you gravitate towards players who are similar to you, like age-wise, kid-wise, music-wise. You kind of find something and then you kind of see everybody kind of click up where like the young 20s hang with the young 20s, the mid 20s, the mid 20s, 30s, like me and Larry pushing strollers together, you know what I'm saying? Like walking our kids. So you kind of like figure out like your age group, if you will.
Right, right. Yeah, because this is the range. You know, I'm being called ma'am a lot these days when I go into locker rooms. I'm like, I can't. I used to be the young one, CJ. I used to be the young one.
You come in the South, they'll be like, what's up, baby? Baby,
no, it's ma'am, and I just that hits real hard. That goes deep. I'm like, no, please don't ma'am
just,
me.
It's just proper etiquette, right? Like to be respectful.
Yeah, I guess, but ma'am is like, you know, there's elder deep in that. You know, it's just like,
ma'am or madam. Which one is worse?
Madam is kind of cool. Like that's a throwback. I don't know. Yeah. I would, you know, there'd be a story behind someone calling me a madam. Ma'am is just. Like, but it's true. I'm dang near 20 years older than some of these kids. I mean, definitely young men.
2005 babies in the league now, right?
Oh,
that's 19.
Yeah, I was in college. All right, we're not going there. We're not going to go down that road.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and... The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, so interesting time, trade deadline. Obviously, in between now and trade deadline is rivalry week. And, you know, it's the whole week. I have a couple rivalry games in, but they're really kind of, it feels like rivalry players. I have the Mavs and Suns. I think a lot of people kind of love the heated battle between Luka and Book.
They got a battle?
You've seen the memes. You've seen the memes. But, like, would you really say that that's a rivalry? And then I think, like, maybe one of the purest rivalries, because there's really no rivalries like there used to be, because just it's just not how the league is anymore.
There also used to be only eight teams, so you're playing the same teams over and over again. Yeah, so it's easy to have a rivalry.
Yeah, but and then that's just not how fans work these days. That's not how young people consume the league. Young people are, like, they're into players, and then they're into fans, into teams. So the other game I have is Jokic versus Embiid. That to me is a rivalry, but it's a very current rivalry. It's a very, like, what's happening now, pulse of the league rivalry, because, you know, former MVP versus current MVP, still atop the MVP race, two bigs, you know, could argue, like, most dominant, best player, who is it? You know, Embiid got the best of Jokic, you know, last week, I think it was, and then told him post-game, you're the best player in the league.
After he got the best of, that's a sick line.
That's what I'm saying. That is
Lead
like,
and say,
Troll Embiid at his finest.
I just love watching you play, man. You're unstoppable. You're all these things.
Take this out.
Take this out. But that's,
take this out, I mean, back he's, with you.
I think Doc said it perfectly. Joel Embiid is a better offensive player.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he has everything in terms of scoring. Like, I'm just talking about scoring the basketball. Three-level score, back to the basket, trade balls, free throws, draws the fouls, all that stuff. Joker's the best player in the NBA right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to get a different answer from players around the league in terms of who's the best player.
It's not biased because everybody's saying the same thing.
Right. Right. And we're guarding him. The same thing.
And we're scheming against him. And we all think the same thing. That means it's probably true.
Because he's so strong. Right. Like, what makes it, other than his genius in his ability to, like, manipulate the game in more ways than one? And maybe that's the reason. Like, why do you think he's the best player in the league?
I think it's combo, because he gets the most out of his teammates. Right, like, he can beat you scoring. All right, you're gonna play me 1-on-1. All right, I'll beat you scoring tonight. Oh, you're gonna double me? I'll beat you passing tonight. Oh, I'm just gonna get rebounds tonight. Tonight I'm gonna take 5 shots and we're still gonna win. Like, he can win in so many different ways. He's a student of the game. He thinks the game. And I think the most underrated part of his game, first of all, his defense has improved a lot since I played against him when he was a little younger. Lateral movement, smarts, flicking at the ball. They can blitz. He can blitz some. He can sit in the drop some. He's sitting in the mid drop. He can late red, which is the late switch. But his conditioning, like, they joke about him just partying on summer, riding horses and stuff. He may not touch a ball, but he's working out. Like, he's conditioning. He's lifting, because the way he was running that floor in Denver with altitude, and I'm in great shape. I'm not going to toot my own, but I'm in elite shape. he was sprinting so fast in that altitude. And we were looking at each other like, what?
It's also maybe a blessing in disguise that he went to Denver, because all he knows is playing in altitude.
They were running. They were all running fast. Like, they were running fast. We were running slow for sure. Like, it affected us. But the way he was moving, I was like, wow, like, this is to be that skilled and be able to run that fast and be that strong.
Right. And be that big.
He's like, yes, right. He's doing all of that. It was impressive. It was really impressive. But I think that's an underrated part of his game, is the condition to be an engine of an offense when you need to be an engine of the offense.
I mean, it's not surprising anymore, like, how good he is, but I feel like it hits harder with players playing Jokic, because it's just, he does things. It's just like, really? Like, really? That, like,
yeah.
Are you serious, Jokic? But at the same time, do you feel like when it comes to Embiid, how much he goes to the free throw line and how he uses the free throw line to his advantage kind of gets held against him?
Yeah, I think it does at times, but the skill is the skill.
Right.
Being able to draw a foul is a skill. It's a part of the game, but it's also like, he's so good at basketball. Like, if you just watch him.
Yes.
He has guard moves, guard skills, hezzy pull-ups, triple threat, three-level score, finishing the paint. He's shooting like 52% on long mid-range shots. Like, he leads the league in, like, attempts from long mid-range and percentage. Like, he is so good and gifted offensively. Good. And to think, like, how he started his career, like, at 16, 15, 16, mm-hmm. to where he's at now skill-wise, it's unbelievable. He may go down as the most skilled big man to ever touch a basketball because of his three-level scoring. And, like, this is no disrespect to the OGs that played before us, but those seven-footers weren't Embiid. They didn't have, like, duck-in ability to dunk on you, do jump.
It's evolution. And, it's not, like, disrespect. It's evolution.
He can do the hooks and everything, footwork, but he also can play, like, he can play a mid-range game where he plays like in that mellow 15 feet logo. He can operate the logo. He can pick and pop and shoot threes. He got handle. Like, that's, we ain't seen that before. We ain't never seen that. May not ever see it again. Not in a 7 foot, whatever amount of weight he's walking around with.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, that game is in Denver, in the altitude. We'll see how Jokic and Embiid face off on that rivalry game. We also have the Lakers and Clippers. That's a rivalry just because they're both in L.A. But I don't really want to talk about them in terms of being a rivalry. I more so want to talk about the Clippers and, like, what have you noticed about what's working well for them right now?
I think it's a combination of things. Comfort. They went from trying to figure things out, right, where they're sharing, everybody's kind of sharing to, like, James, here's the ball, run the offense. Shoot when you feel like it, pass when you feel like it. James is a really good basketball player. He's smart.
So he is a system.
He's definitely a system. He may not be the system the world wants him to be, but he is absolutely a system.
So you were fine with his comments.
I wasn't fine with the comments because I think it was the right words, wrong timing. Like, it wasn't the right time for him to say that, considering what he went through, considering... Yeah. You know, they talked about James, how he comes into training camp sometimes. Like, I don't think it was the right time to say that, but he's not lying. And his systems shift. Like, he can be a scoring system. And not that he needs to be anymore, not that it's the same, but he's been a scoring system. He's been an assisting system where he's going, I'll just go lead the league in assists. And he's been at both, where I score and I assist. For the Clippers, it's like, I'll get 15 to 18. I don't really have to score. I'll get 8 to 10 assists a night. And I'll hit big shots when we need to. And PG will go off some nights. Kawhi will go off some nights. And we'll win games. Normal play great off the bench.
And Russ is finding his, like, his moments too.
Yeah, but I think that the key moment in their season was Russ deciding that he would go to the bench.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the key, because that gave James the license to have the ball. Russ gets to play with the ball in the second unit. And they can get PG or Kawhi out first and let them, one of those guys, play with the bench unit with Norman, all those guys. So that was the key, I think, that unlocked their team. And then obviously T. Lou, he's also a system.
Right.
Yeah, he's a system too.
That's fair. All right, I want to wrap this up with another hot team, the Suns.
you know, like as we're recording right now on the 22nd, I mean, they've won five straight. And, you know, consecutive games, Booker scores 52 against, sorry, you guys. And then the Durant, 52. And then Durant scores 40 against the Pacers.
You have to say 52 twice, all right.
Sorry, I really didn't. That was out of pocket. But I did. And then they seem to be finding their rhythm. What did you see playing against the Suns, and how good do you think they can be if they stay healthy?
Health is the key for a lot of teams, especially for them. With the way their offense is constructed, it's built around the big three with shooters. So you got big three shooters, Nurk. Nurk's a good passer, good roller, interior presence, can play some drop, can play some press defense where he's at the level. But the pressure that Book, KD, and Brad put on the defense with getting downhill, pick and rolls, post-ups, ISOs. Imagine, like, Book comes off, your big's at the level, pocket pass to Nurk, and then on the weak side, it's Brad, KD.
Right.
So it's swing to Brad, one more to KD. Oh, by the way, Grayson Allen leads the league in three-point percentage. He's also out there. So, like, the swings on rotation on the backside is shooter, shooter, shooter every time until they sub. Right. And then it's, like, shooter, shooter, slasher. So that spacing is a big, big issue for a lot of teams because they got players that can find matchups and play in space.
Yeah. Look, this is what people expected them to be at the start of the season. And now, you know, they're starting to figure it out, starting to hit shots. We'll see if they can continue to find their groove. Lastly, let's just finish off with a quick Pelican brief. What's just, you know, the state of you guys right now? How are you feeling? You know, you're heading in the right direction now that we're at the halfway mark. What's your evaluation?
I think we're in a really good space. Being fifth in the West right now, considering the circumstances that we went through, with three days in between games before we play Utah, I like it. I think there's obviously room for improvement. We've been a top 10 defense all year. We've been a 10 to 17 offense, and there's some things we can improve on for sure in terms of our spacing, our rotations, our play calling, ability to kind of make decisions down the stretch. We gave away three games this season that I felt like we really should have won, probably 95 to 97% win probability. So that's on us to learn from it and allow that to not happen again the second half of the season. But I mean, we're tracking for 47 to 50 wins, depending on, you know, some of those coin flip back-to-backs. And if you take care of business against teams under 500, you should get there. So I'd say we're heading in a really good direction. Our young players are getting experience. They're getting more comfortable, more confident. And our best players have been available throughout this season, which is really helpful.
Right. Right. Well, not just available, like you guys are actually playing together. I know that's you're probably sick of hearing that stat, but that is like, that's the story for you guys because that's your team. The three of you guys leading the way and everybody else playing their part.
Mommy duty calls. So I'll take away the sign. We appreciate everybody listening as always. Excited about the second half of the season. Can't wait till All-Star break, although it's not really a break. We hope everybody has a great week. Stay warm. Stay sane. And I would implore everyone to meditate at some point this week for me. Just meditate.
Cosine. It's a beautiful thing for the mind and body. Have a great week.